Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Perfect Stranger, a novel by Megan Miranda. Read by Rebecca Ross.
Chapter 1. Character, Emmy called it. The quirks that came with the house. The non-existent water pressure in the shower. The illogical layout. From the front porch, our house had large sliding glass doors that led directly to the living room and kitchen, a hallway beyond with two bedrooms and a bathroom to share. The main door was at the other end of the hall and faced the woods. Like the house had been laid down with the right dimensions, but the wrong orientation. Probably the nicest thing I can say about the house was that it's mine. But even that's not exactly true. It's my name on the lease, my food in the refrigerator, my glass cleanser that wipes the pollen residue from the sliding glass doors. The house still belongs to someone else, though. The furniture, too. I didn't bring much with me when I left my last place. Wasn't much, once I got down to it, that was mine to take from the one bedroom in the Prudential Center of Boston. Bar stools that wouldn't fit under a standard table, two dressers, a couch, and a bed which would cost more to move than to replace. Sometimes I wondered if it was just my mother's words in my head, making me see this place and my choice to be here as something less than. Before leaving Boston, I'd tried to spin the story for my mother, slanting this major life change as an active decision, opting to appeal to her sense of charity and decency, both for my benefit and for hers. I once heard her introduce me and my sister to her friends. Rebecca helps the ones who can be saved, and Leah gives a voice to those who cannot. So I imagined how she might frame this for her friends. My daughter is taking a sabbatical to help children in need. If anyone could sell it, she could. I made it seem like my idea to begin with, not that I had latched myself onto someone else's plan because I had nowhere else to go. Not because the longer I stood still, the more I felt the net closing in. Emmy and I had already sent in our deposit, and I'd been floating through the weeks, imagining this new version of the world waiting for me. But even then, I'd steeled myself for the call. Timed it so I knew my mother would be on her way to her standing coffee date with the girls. Practiced my narrative, preemptively preparing counterpoints. I quit my job, and I'm leaving Boston. I'm going to teach high school, already have a position lined up. Western Pennsylvania. You know, there are whole areas of the country right here in America that are in need, right? No, I won't be alone. Remember Emmy? My roommate while I was interning after college? She's coming with me. The first thing my mother said was, "I don't remember any Emmy." As if this were the most important fact. But that was how she worked, picking at the details until the foundation finally gave, from nowhere. And yet her method of inquiry was also how we knew we had a secure base, that we weren't basing our plans on a dream that would inevitably crumble under pressure.